Hello, everyone. Welcome to Let's Go Up Podcast Edition,
where we explore the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
We're your hosts. I'm Dean.
And I'm Kritas.
And Kritas, yeah. Today it's going to be so much fun.
Always is.
Today we're going to talk about gates and pathways of life.
Okay, love it. All right, yeah. Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Do you have the key?
For the gate?
Yeah.
I should have brought a key, actually. Props.
We need props on this show, even though most people just listen. We have this invisible key. Imagine it.
Kritas, you just came from a trip to California and yeah. You stopped at Bethel.
We always time the stop in Bethel just perfectly. Leave Friday after work, drive down, take a break, kind of around the bottom side of Washington, top mm-hmm. side of Oregon, somewhere in there. And then the next day, drive all the way down and you hit Bethel at bedtime. Park in the parking lot. We've got an RV. And then the next morning is Sunday, and you hit a couple services, refreshed and empowered, and carry on the rest of the long, 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 long journey to mm-hmm. Southern California. You know, there's a really long drive after Redding. It's yeah. like the Saskatchewan of California. You just keep going and going and going and going and going, and then it's Psycho City.
Yeah. California is great. I think Adeline and I have traveled most of the coast. Mm. Actually, we started at the very top of California and drove the coast.
Oh, that is an awesome drive, except in an RV. We did that in the RV 1 year. Bad idea, because that's a windy road,
very
cliffside, beautiful, but in a big lumbering vehicle, a lot of nausea, close, tight corners.
Yeah, but beautiful and mm-hmm. scenic and inspiring. I remember driving through a little town and feeling the glory of God and wondering, what is up with this little town? Mm. I wonder how many cool people live here
yeah.
with Jesus in their hearts.
Oh, man.
New creationers.
Okay, road trip. We got to go find this town again. Find some new creationers in here.
That's right.
I like that new word.
Yeah.
I'll keep saying it into my phone and maybe the Google will pick it up and make it one of the year's top words.
New creationers.
Keep typing it in the yeah. thesaurus or the dictionary online.
And then, you know, we went a little further down the next time and I think we've actually done most of it.
Okay, nice.
The entire coast.
Yeah, awesome.
What was your highlight?
Not going to lie, it was an awesome trip. We walked up to the Hollywood sign.
Oh.
Okay. Never done that before. It was downpouring and it was windy and it was uphill. The ground is like sandy dirt, which doesn't do super well in the rain. And then halfway up this hike, I guess there's a farm somewhere in the hills that have horses that can take you on horseback ride up the hill. So then you start trudging through wet horse poop.
Oh.
Adds for the extra slip.
That's great. I wasn't expecting that, but
it was an interesting part.
I didn't realize that there was a hike up to the Hollywood sign.
There's one that's even further and you can go, from what I hear, right behind the letters. We went to the first hike, which gets you in front of the sign.
Right.
But it's kind of still off in the distance. You can see the whole thing.
How big do you think those letters are?
I don't know. They're pretty big. You'd have to look up.
I've always wondered, when you drive in the valley, mm-hmm. in the bottom, mm-hmm. and you look up, they're big, but what would it be like to be right there? I wonder what the height of them is.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. No, it very was fun. Cool. So, and you also went yes. away.
Yeah.
On a little excursion. You went to a conference of yeah. some sort, which was not like a conference you've ever been to.
It was different.
Okay. Yeah.
It was great in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Unreligious mm-hmm. in every way. Well, the main speaker was somebody we talk about all the time, Justin Paul Abraham.
Interesting. Did you break out in a British accent?
No.
Okay, because I have a hard time with that.
So do I.
It's just such a fun accent. And there's all these different types of British accents. It's not just the one. It's hard not to start flowing with the way they talk.
Mm-hmm. But it was all kinds of fun, enlightening and challenging. And like I said, unreligious. There's nothing that I could grab onto that was familiar anywhere.
How did that feel?
It felt weird,
yeah.
but good.
Yeah, weird, but good.
Yeah.
I like it.
They are very serious about their drinking.
Okay.
Yes.
They're drinking.
The new wine. of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. They drink it from big barrels.
Oh my goodness. Intoxication nation.
Yes. In mass.
Okay.
Yep. Lots of joy, lots of laughter all over the place.
I heard from your wife there were bubbles.
Yes. Everybody was given, you know, when you blow, you dip it in the...
I know what a bubble wand is. Is that what you're
A bubble wand. That's what it was. It was a bubble wand. You dip it in the soap.
Stick.
And you blow and it blows bubbles everywhere. Everybody had a bubble wand and they blew those things constantly through the entire conference. Bubbles everywhere.
Did you get a bubble in the eye ever?
No, I didn't get one in the eye, but they were always floating around.
That's magical. It almost sounds like a wedding.
Yeah, maybe.
You know how sometimes they do the bubble instead of the rice throw and stuff?
Right, yeah. And they threw candy.
Why was I not invited? Candy being thrown into the crowd. Yeah. All the dentists there like, ugh. Yeah.
There were lots of train rides.
A Mamba train, is that what they call them?
Yes.
And everyone goes around the room. Yep. Did you join in?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Yep. Nice. You participate. You know, if you're going there, you're going to.
You know, I went there and I said, you know, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I had an open mind. Lots of talk about mystery, lots of talk about Kainos new creation. They kept saying the phrase, let's go up.
Oh, hey.
No,
that's our word.
That's ours.
We invented it.
Right.
I.e., we saw it in the Bible and we're like, sweet.
And they also talked about, I'm in you, you're in me. Mm. He's in us, we're in him. Even in the worship, they would start singing that line, I'm in you, you're in me, over and over again. And then they would say things like, we're already there. Phrases like that just kept popping up. Let's go up. We're already there. He's in us. We're in him. Sounded like our podcast.
Like deja vu?
No. Am I hearing an echo here? An experience of a lifetime.
Going to be contemplating that for a little while?
I took a whole week to unwind and decompress and ask Jesus about things.
Yeah, it's quite the experience, right? Going into an environment where nothing is how it's always been.
That's right. Not that I'm not used to that. I've been in all kinds of situations and conferences over the years, but this was definitely even different from what I've experienced anywhere else. I went one time down to Oregon to see John Crowder, and that was very similar to this, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, John Crowder is a new creationist, a mystic.
Were there bubbles?
No bubbles, but there were other things there at that one that they didn't have here. So
very cool. Yeah. So they're out there.
They are.
Bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
There's more of us.
There are more of us. That's what I realized. Yeah, these are my people. They're a little strange, but they're my people. And also, they're very serious about their joy. Everything is joyful and about joy and about the new wine and about the happy gospel and the happy Trinity, and God is in a good mood.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. Oh, yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, one more exciting thing I forgot to tell you.
Please.
Okay, my dove has not returned yet, but I saw a dove on our trip. Not just saw a dove. This dove was just hanging out near us and wouldn't go away. I took a little picture of it, a different kind of dove with a little stripe on the neck.
Yep.
But yeah, so I did get my dove fill. You know, I'm like, good things are going to happen, and good things did happen. It was probably one of the best trips we've ever had. Very blessed. Lots of moments where we just felt like God was just really blessing us and blessing our children, and just lots of joy and peace and bonding, especially when I got stuck. We went to Disneyland for a little bit. We got stuck, Haley and I, on the Indiana Jones ride, broke down.
Oh, really?
Inside the cave full of skeletons for a very long time. We sat there for an hour. I'm telling you, there needs to be a 10-minute cap or something. So we bonded. Actually, I bonded with a Texan lady beside me. And she's like, man, rides break down here. 6 of the rides I've been on have broken down while I'm on them.
Really?
So everyone in the car looks at her. So you're the problem.
Yeah, they say if your problem follows you, look inward.
Something is happening. So she told me, she's like, I've learned, always empty your bladder before a ride and bring provisions. She had a backpack of provisions. This is how often the ride broke down for this lady. She comes prepared now. Got my extra water, some light snack.
That is so crazy.
Let's get this ball rolling, Dean.
Let's get this ball rolling.
Okay, let's get the keys out. Unlock some gates.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
There's a scripture on gates somewhere that could really get this door swinging.
Yes, we're going to do that. But let's do our intro first, because we have to do our intro.
Did we really not do it? What intro?
We didn't do this part, though.
What's this part?
If you enjoy today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that part. Right. Okay, yeah.
So if you enjoy today's conversation, lots of options open to you.
Lots of options to those who enjoyed it and to those who didn't enjoy it.
There's lots of options there too.
Yeah, you too also have lots of options. So it's a win-win, really.
There you go.
If you like it, win. If you don't, win. You're just
you keep striking until you hit the ball.
Yeah.
All right. So like, subscribe, notification bell, and follow.
And we've got the website.
Yes, we just released a blog today.
Got some super awesome ascending tracks on
ascending
there.
Tracks.
Yeah, loving those.
Yep, mm-hmm. And a new podcast, actually every Sunday. So it's ready for your Monday morning commute.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate your support and for following us. We love doing this. We're going to morph into our subject.
Morph.
By talking about gates. First of all, I think we should just say that Jesus said, "I am the gate." What would it be like if you were a gate? Interesting.
What would it be like to be a gate?
There's a verse that we've talked about lots of times here on Let's Go Up. We're going to bring it out again, unpack it a little more, because I actually saw it in a completely different light this week. Mm-hmm. In fact, it affected me so much that I cried over it. I rarely do that, but it just melted my heart.
Mm, awesome.
I think we should read it.
Anything that makes Dean cry, I think we should read out loud for the world. Okay, where was this?
Matthew 7, 13 to 14. I'm in Zechariah. Not in Matthew. As I was thinking, Matthew, it says 7:14, but it's not the right verse.
That's hilarious.
Now I'm in Matthew. I've got the red print. Here we go. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. But the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are lots of different translations of that verse. Some say the gate is narrow, the path is small. Mm-hmm. Some talk about the pathway, but they all kind of say the same thing. They talk about a gate, and then they talk about the path that goes from the gate.
Yeah.
The first thing, though, is getting through the gate. And I guess I never saw before in these verses that you have to go through a gate. I always thought, it's talking about the path. So we're on this narrow path. That's great. We're on a pathway. But in order to get to the pathway, we have to go through a gate first. I never really realized that there was a gate there. So that got me thinking about gates. And then it got me thinking about paths.
And this is where you started sobbing uncontrollably.
Not yet. I'm still happy at this point.
Yeah, you're like, wow, gates and paths, Holy Spirit.
Lovely.
Just wait. We got a revelation for you.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about a few times how, you know, we are on a narrow pathway of life. And few find this pathway of life. The pathway of life is a pathway of mystery. And we've talked about how wonderful would it be for all of our friends to be on this path.
Mm.
But I think what happened to me once I started looking at this is I didn't expect to find maybe what the path looked like. And once I discovered what the path looked like, it seemed to me that there's a reason why there aren't more people on this path. Once I started realizing what the reason was, that's when I started crying. So I'm going to try to help unpack that a bit, even for myself, because I'm still processing it.
I love that. Let's bring it right to the podcast. Process it together.
Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, if there's one person I'd love to process this with, it would be Cretus.
Awesome.
Yeah.
She'll make fun of me while also unpacking it with
That's right. Yeah. And you always have such great thoughts and such great insight too. So brilliance comes from you. So gates are portals. They lead you to places. They open up to different things. There are lots of different gates mentioned in the Bible. I did a little bit of a study on them. They range from Jacob's ladder. Jacob fell asleep. He had a vision of a stairway.
Yeah.
Some people actually say that that stairway is like the helix curve, DNA.
Wow.
Angels ascending and descending. He wakes up and he's like, oh my goodness, this place is awesome.
Epic. Bubbles flowing around.
And he says a strange thing. He said, this is none other than the gate to heaven or a gateway to heaven.
Mm.
So there's a gateway to heaven. And if you look in Matthew, I'm thinking of Matthew 16, where Jesus says to Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church. The gates of death or Hades will not prevail against it.
Mm.
So there's obviously a gateway to heaven. There's obviously a gateway to death.
Mm.
And this verse here is obviously talking about those two gateways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, enter through the narrow gate. And then it starts describing these two gates. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And then it says, but the gate is narrow and the way is constricted or small that leads to life. There are few that find it. And Jesus also said, I am the gate. Those who enter through me, they'll go in and they'll go out. So we're going in and we're going out, going into heavenly places. We can come back here to earth. We can go back and forth. We can find pasture. So gates are pretty cool. There's a gateway of praise mentioned in Isaiah.
Yeah, the walls of salvation and the gates of praise. Yep. Yeah.
And I'm thinking of Psalm.
Oh, there's got to be gates in Psalms.
There are lots of gates in Psalms. I will enter his gates.
These guys are all about the gates, yeah.
With thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. Mm-hmm. Lift up your heads, you ancient gates.
Psalm 24, maybe? Let's see. The Lord, oh, this is King James Version. This is going to be fun. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory?
That's the one.
Ye. Gotta use that. Ye.
Yeehaw.
I love the gates of Thanksgiving that you just mentioned, because that was a huge turning point in our life. Our very first Bethel trip, actually, when we really felt God calling us down there. We didn't know anything about this church. He really spoke to us to go down there. We left that place with this overwhelming, and I've shared this before, I believe, sense of thankfulness and gratitude, so much so that it just surprised both of us. And nobody there talked about it. There was no sermon on it or anything. Completely unexpected new perspective of gratitude and thankfulness that like we had never experienced before. And it was a gate. From that point, something opened. It's like the marking point of our crazy, awesome life with Jesus, really.
Right. So those moments and those things that break open, they do mark the journeys, don't they?
Yeah.
That's because it's a gate and it's opened and now you're on a pathway. And when I read that in this verse, I can't say I've ever seen that before. I just thought of the path. But there's a gate that opens it. Once we go through the gate, then we're on a path. It's interesting how this verse actually says that the gate is wide. So there's a really wide gate and there's a really narrow gate. I am thinking like of this narrow gate that you open and you can like barely even squeeze through it. Or a really wide gate that opens and like...
Yeah, feels more comfortable, feels safer maybe. Those wider gates, everyone's going through it. It can't be so bad.
Yeah, everybody's doing this.
Yeah,
a narrow gate can feel constricted and it can also feel claustrophobic.
Or a little scary at times. Why is no one else taking this?
If I get through this gate, if I can actually fit through it, will I ever be able to get out of here again? I'll be trapped and here I'll have to stay. So gates are crucial to our journey. At different points in our journey, we'll find different gates. A lot of very prophetic sort of mystical talk in the Bible surrounding gates.
Yeah.
Even access points to heaven and gates to the angelic visitations, encounters.
Transitional points. So we've got these two gates. One is narrow, leads to life. One is wide, leads to destruction.
I don't think Jesus was talking about the Christian and the non-Christian here because he was talking to his disciples.
Yeah.
I actually wonder if the wide gate has a lot of religion attached to it and if the narrow gate is very unconventional. There's something about the narrow gate that makes it unattractive or maybe even offensive.
In the New King James Version, the word that he uses is difficult is the way on this narrow gate. It's not easy to be walking a path in life that is offensive or people disagree with or you get the backlash with.
New American Standard says it's constricted.
Constricted.
Yeah, the way is constricted that leads to life. So what is it about this pathway to life that is so difficult to get through the gate and to get onto the path and to stay on the path? I mean, I guess you could come up with all kinds of language for it. In the end, I tend to think it's different than we all think. If it was a conventional set of thought or a conventional way, more people would find it, but it's offensive. There's something about it that the average person will not go there. Why will they not go there? What will they not do? What's the problem here? Why aren't more people going through this one? Good questions.
Yeah, great questions.
No answers. I was pondering on this and I found a verse that gave me a clue, I think.
Okay.
And so I thought we could go there, and then I think this will take us in a direction that will open up a lot of territory.
Mm.
This particular psalm I have memorized, and I've been quoting it for years, pretty much every day. It's one of my nighttime quotes, Psalm 16, Psalm 91, and Psalm 67, those three.
Okay.
Psalm 16, sure. I've been saying this psalm for years, and I just never saw this part of it before. This psalm talks about a lot of really cool things. It talks about God being on our side. It talks about how when we have no inheritance in this world, He becomes our inheritance.
Mm.
It says, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. And it says, Lord, you support my lot. I have a beautiful inheritance in you. Then it starts talking about how even in the night, my mind or my heart instructs me. Then it says, I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, and because He's at my right hand, I will never be shaken.
Mm.
So it's talking about our right hand. He is at our right hand. Then it goes on to say, because of this, my entire being rejoices.
Whew.
Some translations say my glory rejoices,
mm.
my spirit rejoices, my entire being rejoices. And then it says something strange. It says, my flesh also dwells secure. Now that's talking about our body. So it's talking about our spirit rejoicing, and it's talking about our body being secure and coming along
mm.
for the ride. We take our body with us
nice.
into this place of joy and glory because, Lord, you have not abandoned my soul to the gates of hell or to death. And you have not let your Holy One, and we are His holy ones, undergo any kind of decay. So these verses are actually talking about, like we were talking about last week, immortality,
mm.
life and immortality. It's talking about a person who is in a place of rejoicing and glory, and is talking about this person not being abandoned to death or decay. So it's talking about even our body being revived.
Wow.
These are immortality verses here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, you make known to me the pathway of life. When that phrase came to my mind, it was like, well, in Matthew, it's talking about the pathway of life.
Mm-hmm.
You go through the gate,
mm-hmm.
and then you're on this narrow pathway of life. Few find it. Here it says, you make known to me the pathway of life. And then it says two things. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So He's at my right hand, but I'm also at His right hand. So I'm in Him and He's in me.
Mm.
So we're talking about union here. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. So that's the first part of the pathway of life.
Mm.
And then at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You make known to me the pathway of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So, Cretus, what if the pathway of life is all about fullness of joy and the pleasures of the right hand of God, rather than all of the other things that we think that life would be about or a good Christian life would consist of? What if it's actually about joy? And what if it's actually about pleasure? If it's about those two things, I can see why this gate is so narrow
mm-hmm.
and this pathway is narrow and few find it
mm-hmm.
because that is offensive.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's the offensive part of the gospel. Nobody wants to admit that this is about pleasure and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be?
Hmm. Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Mic drop.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, thanks for that.
No problem. I have no idea what I just said.
Don't ask me to repeat it.
Don't ask me to repeat it. No.
I love it.
I want your thoughts on this.
Okay, you know what?
We need to process this now.
This is good. Okay, I'm going to read something that might shine a little light on this here.
You're going to flip to Paul, right?
You think you know me. The first epistle of Peter.
You're going to Peter. Oh, come on. I was so wrong.
Close. Peter, Paul, they both begin with the P.
There you go.
In this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, You have been grieved by various trials. Mm-hmm. Okay, we often get stuck there. Get that prayer team together. I need to, like, this is going on in my life and this. And, you know, various trials become kind of the focus point.
Okay.
This is why I'm not doing okay. My various trials kind of thing.
My crappy and my happy.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Oh, but there's a so that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's getting really good. Just wait.
Okay.
Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So he's talking about these various trials, faith, believing, and ridiculous joy inexpressible. I think when we see someone going through various trials with inexpressible joy, we think they're in denial or something's going on. But that's the normal response on this narrow way. Joy inexpressible, regardless of what's going on.
Greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory.
Full of glory. No matter what's going on, faith in the word, faith in truth, eyes on him, heavenly perspective, joy inexpressible.
I'm starting to learn how life-giving joy is. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And I'm not just talking about a little bit of joy here. I'm talking about the fullness or the inexpressibleness of this joy and glory. It's full of glory.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the last couple of days, it's interesting. Adeline and I have had some really difficult things come our way. When we saw it coming, we looked at each other and said, you know what? Let's do this with a really high frequency. Mm. Let's just see what happens.
Yes.
And we decided to be happy no matter what, rejoice no matter what. I just went to the courts of heaven and I said, you know what? I'm just going to leave this here. We're going to react with joy and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know what? It actually just disappeared. Mm. The circumstances just disappeared before us. Like they weren't even there.
Mm.
Like it was this big smoke screen of stuff. And when we reacted with inexpressible joy, high frequency, the smoke disappeared and there was nothing there. It was like the fog in the morning. Yeah. You know, the sun comes up and it just disappears. Yeah. It's not there anymore. Where did it go? I don't know.
Yeah, this is amazing. This is fighting the good fight of faith. We think we're fighting, you know, this or that or him or her or the devil or this, but it's fight the good fight of faith, continuing to believe in the truth and where we are meant to stand and sit, regardless of what's happening. Where we're seated hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Our mandate here on earth hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. Stuff starts happening that can really pull our attention and our focus. You start almost empowering it to stay longer in your life by looking at it.
You do empower it to stay longer. You give it a life when you focus on it because the devil loves attention. He loves it when you focus on the stuff that he's put in your pathway.
Because he wants to bring us down to this level, right? When we're actually up at this other level.
Yeah, we're meant to be high. We're meant to live at a high frequency. So Adeline and I decided to do this high. Mm.
Yeah.
Let's do this high. Mm-hmm. Let's stay up. Let's go up. Let's stay there. See what happens.
Yeah.
Joy is part of the narrow pathway of life. If we're unwilling to rejoice in everything that happens to us, we're going to be on the wide path of destruction because that will take us down. That will drag us down. We'll be looking at it. It's an easy road. It's an easy way to go doing that.
Yeah, and you get lots of comfort and lots of people relate to you. And
you get lots of attention.
And understanding. And
yes.
Yeah, but this narrow way of refusing to step out of the victory that you're in already, it goes against what cultural counseling teaches. You know, the renewing of the mind outside of the way the world thinks isn't going to be easy, right, or understood. Yeah, it gets easy when you release the opinions of the world, but that part I think is hard for people, especially because often it's the people closest to you that would disagree or hit back against it the most because they care for you and they're concerned about you maybe. But Jesus had said that, if you don't love your mother or your brother less than me, you're not worthy of me, because he knew that that could trump believing him.
I want to read one more verse here. This has to do with gates again. This is in John 9 and 10.
That's where he says, I am the gate for the sheep, right?
Yeah.
John 10.
So Jesus is talking about sheep, and he says, I am the door. Some translations say, I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, they will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Mm. The very next verse says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they would have life. Mm. So there's that word life again.
Yeah.
And have it abundantly.
So in John 10:10 in the Amplified, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.
Right. They might have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Mm,
so good.
In your presence is fullness of joy. Presence to me is the proximity effect of heaven. It's the proximity effect of being face to face with Jesus. From his face comes his glory, and his glory and his presence are synonymous. Mm-hmm. And so here we are, we're face to face with the one that we love at his right hand. Mm. He's at our right hand, we're in him, he's in us, and we are in his presence. What happens? There is fullness of joy. That is part of the pathway of life. You make known to me the pathway of life. Mm. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And then greet us. We need to talk about this second half. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore.
Oh, yeah.
If the narrow pathway of life consists of fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God, that is such a different way of looking at life. If that's the essence of life, the narrow path of life, joy and pleasure, that's such a different description of life than most people would choose. And maybe that's the reason why people don't find this pathway, because it's hidden in these odd things that we don't normally consider as being life-giving, but joy is evidently life-giving, and the pleasures of God are evidently life-giving, to the point where it can catapult us into a place of even immortality, like this scripture is talking about, like a place where our body is not subject to decay and where we dwell secure and where our entire being is rejoicing and full of glory.
Yeah. You know that rejuvenated feeling you have after a holiday or a trip? We were just talking about little holidays. We're conditioned to think that, you know, you go on a holiday and you get rejuvenated. But this lifestyle, the lifestyle of the kingdom is the holiday. That's the norm. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go get rejuvenated. You're living in a rejuvenated state. We're brought up in this world to escape that. Summer holidays, spring break, vacation, which is why I think the pandemic was hard for a lot of people, because the escape was stopped.
Right.
People couldn't escape for the rejuvenation that we're conditioned to think we need. But when you're on the narrow road, no pandemic can change the peace and contentment you're living in, because you're living in constant rejuvenation.
I can imagine or partially understand what fullness of joy might look like. I'm definitely not there, but I'm learning that in order to have joy, I need to rejoice. And rejoicing is at first a choice. And when we rejoice and we choose to live at a high frequency, then the joy comes. Mm-hmm. It bubbles up.
Yeah. Like Jesus, I want to align myself with you, with your frequency, because you were aligned with the frequency of heaven, of God. And you came here and you showed us that and you live that. And I want to line up to that too.
So I can see that as a possibility, but I have no idea what to do with the phrase at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Mm. I didn't even know what that looks like. There have been times that I've been in this bliss of heaven. I've experienced that periodically, and I can get there when I wait on the Lord, entangle with him, going to those places of bliss in his presence, that pleasure that comes from that bliss, that is also mentioned as part of the pathway of life. I guess I would have never thought that those two things would be so closely tied.
Yeah, and available. We can stay there. I want to stay there, Lord. I want to be in that place, in the pasture. I am the gate, right?
Yes.
The sheep will enter by me and find pasture. Mm-hmm. When we were driving through the long expanse of farmland, there were so many sheep with their babies just grazing in the pasture. They've had a lot of rain this year, so it was very lush. And they were just so free. Abundance of supply and food. You just look at it and you see serenity and abundance. The sustenance life we find in him, not super complicated. Which gate are we going into? Because one of them, he says it, do we believe it will lead to this kind of abundance and fullness, pleasure, where David said, he will restore my soul. Okay, can I tell you something funny?
Sure.
In Hosea, he talks about pasturing lambs in a meadow versus stubborn heifers. I had never heard this word before, so I was reading it once in a women's group. It came up in the book thing we were going through. Pasturing lambs in a meadow versus the stubborn heifers. Everyone's like, what's a heifer? It's a word in the Bible. It exists. You mean heifer? I didn't know there was a name for a female cow. Was it Bill Johnson that said this? He talked about the scripture with the two paths. Bill Johnson said he's not talking to the believers are on the narrow path and all the atheists are on the wide path. He was talking to believers.
Yes.
So the believing believers walk on the narrow path and the unbelieving believers walk on the wide path. I'd never heard it put that way before. I'm pretty sure it was him that said that.
I think when I put those two verses together, you enter through this narrow gate and you're on this narrow path and it leads to life and few find it. And then Psalm 16, where it says, I will show you the pathway of life. Mm-hmm. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, those two things are not usual things that you would consider to be pathways of life or the pathway of life.
Right.
But if it is, now I can understand why few find it.
The new kainos life, the new creation, resurrection life. It hasn't been talked about a lot, but I feel like the Spirit is really highlighting it.
Mm-hmm. It is a life where we need to rejoice in all circumstances. And it's a life where we need to find the bliss of heaven and the bliss of union. We need to find the wine cellar. We need to find the new wine. He brought me to his house of wine. His banner over me is love. Mm-hmm. We need to find the new wineskin to put the new wine in because it doesn't look like anything we've seen before. If we're going to seek after something, that's what we need to seek. Mm. That's going to take us to this narrow pathway of life that few will venture onto. It's just that good and it's just that strange at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a combination that you would expect.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave that there.
Well, we had talked about this before, about the kingdom of God being a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy. Like joy, this is the frequency of the kingdom. This is the normal kingdom life.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy,
peace.
Mm-hmm. It's right up there at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Joy and the pleasures of the bliss of the kingdom. So good, Cretus. I know I've rambled a lot today.
You know, it's a good rambling, okay? We usually do that until the Holy Spirit's like, okay, guys, stop. Okay, so to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We're speaking of fullness of joy, knowing his love, you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Where's the limitation on that? Why do we put limitations on that? It's all about normalizing the kingdom in your life. We've been praying for the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven for thousands of years. Let's not limit what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And if it's a kingdom of joy, then we've literally been praying your kingdom come. We're asking for joy to be normalized here as the atmosphere, as the constant consistency. But it takes a different perspective. You really do have to go up and be seeing from the seat of heaven. Open the gates.
Yeah.
The floodgates of joy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not about trying to force your personality to change or be different. It really is experiencing him and his joy and the reality of where we're from. We are ambassadors of a different place. We're actually not from here.
We're born of Zion.
You're born of Zion. The reality of Zion is completely different.
Born from above.
Yeah. It's normal there and it's actually meant to be normal here.
So embrace the joy. And embrace the bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Go through the narrow gate.
Yeah.
And walk down the narrow road to life.
Yeah.
Okay, Cretus. There we go.
Yeah.
We got it out.
It's so good. I think we did. Something about gates and pathways.
Yep. So good. I am so thankful that we have been able to have this conversation. We hope that you've enjoyed it as much as we have. It has been kind of enlightening for me and a good chance for me to kind of get some things out that I've been thinking about. that I'm still developing language for. Mm-hmm. And thank you for your help.
This new creation life, this path we're on, it's not just, oh, I'm saved, said a prayer, I'm on this path. Like the path, it's so incredible and it always changes and you keep going deeper and deeper and there's more and more and there's always mysteries to explore.
Honestly, when I think I've gotten to a place, how can I go higher than this? He always blows me away with something more. All right, everyone.
Okay.
So thanks so much. Have an awesome week. Yeah. And we will see you in a week's time. Rejoice and find the bliss of union.
Yeah.
Bye.